Luke chapter 1 is our New Testament lesson, beginning at verse 5. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and to many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people declared prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years." And the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can ask any member of my family. Four of them are here, by the way. And they'll tell you, "Dad is a bit of a neatnik. I don't like messes." More than once, I have put back things into the refrigerator or the cabinet before Pat was finished with them. I straightened my father's workbench when I was a teenager, and he said, "Thank you very much, Rich, but don't do that again. I can't find a thing." And then he added, "You're going to make someone a wonderful grandmother someday." Now, I admit I'm a little over the top when it comes to organizing things, but I think most of us like things to be neat and orderly. Not too many surprises. This is especially true when it comes to the church. We've all heard change comes slowly to the church. We've always done it this way, don't change it. We do things pretty much the same way every Sunday. This morning, much like last week, last year, last century. You know, it's not called the order of worship for nothing. It's called that because it orders our worship. Call to worship, musical prelude, hymn, prayer, doxology, etc., etc. We like the continuous flow. And so here we are, just like clockwork. We could have predicted it. Advent begins this year, this week, 4 Sundays before Christmas. We'll light a candle each week. There'll be 4, 3 are purple, 1 are pink. We'll sing familiar hymns, Silent Night, O Come Ye Faithful. We'll read scriptures from Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, Luke 2, Matthew 2. We'll hear the familiar story. And of course, that presents a danger. With all this orderliness, we feel that we know the story. We don't need to pay attention. This is all quite predictable. And you know, familiarity breeds contempt. But let me remind you that the familiar story of Christmas is just chock full of extraordinary events. There is surprise after surprise. We are used to the account, but can we put ourselves back into Zechariah's sandals and listen to the text? Luke is great with the details that we learn, and we learn much about Zechariah and his wife in these verses I read. Luke begins during the reign of Herod. Now that's like saying during the rule of Hitler. Herod was a ruthless figure in Israel's history, but despite the evil influence in this paranoid tyrant, we read in verse 6 that Zechariah, a priest, and Elizabeth, also of priestly descent, was upright in the sight of the Lord. They lived honorably before God. They were careful in keeping his commands. They had a clear conscience. These were good people. They were obedient, committed. Sound like a wonderful couple. I hope to meet them sometime. But despite their faithfulness to God, they lived with a great emptiness, you remember. They couldn't have any children. Now, I'm sure they adjusted, but this was a major sadness. Years of hoping, years of trying, years of praying and waiting and questioning God. Now, when we read about all of that in chapter 1, these people are senior citizens. By now, they've had come to terms with their situation. They figured God's answer to their prayer was no. And what do you do? Well, they continued on, obeying God's commandments, believing God's truth, seeking God's will. And I think by now they were probably in a comfortable, orderly routine. And then it happened. Surprise of all surprises. Zechariah is in the temple, standing to the right of the altar of incense. The people are outside praying and waiting. Then Gabriel, an angel of the Lord, appears and announces that God is pleased with the faithfulness of Zechariah and his wife and has a great blessing in store for them. I mean, after all the years of praying and hoping, they're going to have a baby, a boy. His name will be John. He'll bring great joy to you and Elizabeth and millions of others. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. He'll be like Elijah. He will prepare the people for God's arrival. And of course, Zechariah responds, "This is great, what a privilege. Praise the Lord, my prayers have an answer." No, he doesn't. "Do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man. My wife is an old woman. We've stopped praying for a child years ago. Your answer was no." This was too much for Zechariah. This was not a good surprise. But his lack of faith wasn't going to stop God's plan. Elizabeth would conceive. Baby John the Baptist, would be born. He would herald the coming of Jesus Christ the Savior, the Lamb of God. And one more thing, Zechariah. You won't be able to speak for the next 9 months. Imagine being an expectant father at his age, unable to share his exciting news. I often wondered why that was Gabriel's response. I wondered whether was to keep him from spreading his doubts. You know, I don't know. This scriptural pattern of surprise is repeated throughout the first chapters of Luke. Not only does God plan surprises for Elizabeth and Zechariah, but also for Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds, and Herod, and the wise men, and the whole bunch of people at a wedding reception who ran out of wine, and the disciples who threw their net on the other side of the boat, and a hungry crowd of 5,000 people, and the religious leaders of the day. And when Nicodemus heard, "You must be born again," and Saul blinded on his journey to Damascus, we could go on and on. Mary and Martha, the brother's grave. And ultimately, the entire world would be surprised on Easter morn. Surprise after surprise. Now, we think God should make our lives peaceful and orderly, but we often find out just the opposite, don't we? God seems to always pursue us toward obedience and faithfulness without always understanding all the details. Listen, friend, the main difference between a living and true God and a dead and false God is that a dead and false God will never surprise you and never ask you to trust without knowing. A real God will ask you to do things like increase your giving, or love that person you just can't stand, or trust God for the future of your child or your grandchild. Advent is God's annual reminder to Christians and to the church that he is able and determined to reach us and surprise us. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Gideon, Mary, Joseph, Peter, Paul, all surprised. They all met the challenge. They all trusted without understanding all the details, and we admire their faith today. Which leaves us with this challenge. If the God of the Old Testament was full of surprises, constantly challenging his people to trust without understanding all the details, like build an ark, or listen to a burning bush, or watch the sea split just in time, or enjoy manna from heaven, or see the walls of Jericho fall down, or admire a young man with a slingshot and a shining stone. And if the New Testament starts with surprises more outrageous than ever, do you think that God would dare to surprise us? Or surprise you? And call you to trust without understanding all the details? I think so. I think the probability is very high. I think if you are listening and obedient, there will be surprises in your spiritual journey. It's a sure bet. God's ways are not our ways, not your ways, not my ways. J.B. Phillips said, if you, God never surprises you, your God's too small. Are there some here this morning who've just been surprised by God's actions and wondering about all the details? Or there's someone who needs to be surprised by God, need to hear startling news like, I love you. I want to forgive you if you'll let me. I want to live in your life by my Holy Spirit. I want to bless you beyond your wildest imagination. Now, I admit that God's surprises can be scary and confusing and may appear foolish and almost always costly. But our God, who loves us beyond all our understanding, always brings blessing wrapped in a surprise. The blessings may take a while. Zechariah and Elizabeth waited 9 months, so did Mary and Joseph. And for many other faithful believers, it took much longer. But be assured that when God surprises us, there's a blessing on the way. Get ready. Let's pray. Our Father, how thankful we are that you came into our world and surprised us. Surprised those in that situation. We certainly would be surprised too. And we're thankful that your actions in our world and in our lives often come as a great surprise, but inside a blessing if we trust you without understanding all the details. Help us to do that this coming week, this coming month, this coming year, in our own lives and in the life of Union Congregational Church. Hear us through Jesus, we pray. Amen.